Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good.
It's good to be back here with you again on another Sunday evening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In this horrible winter we're having. But it's always warm on Sunday nights.
Yep, we have plenty of snow.
And it's always warm when you're studying God's Word. And
we've had plenty of ice.
Yeah.
I'm just doing word association. I'm sorry.
So we had kind of a long, series of serious, I don't want to say depressing shows the last few weeks about people falling away and people gathering teachers around them that tell them what their itching ears want to hear, and Satan being the prince of the power of the air, and and we're going to have at least one more of those today.
Well, that's good news.
Because, you know, we're in a time, and you, when you had that quote that we read a couple of times from
John Paul II
before he was Pope, talking at the end of the quote, just to paraphrase it, he said, this has been part of God's plan, and so we're kind of in it.
Right.
And I was thinking about that since last week's show, and Paul, my hero, St. Paul, Saul of Tarsus, Rabbi Shaul.
How many names does he have?
Lots. He must have been running from the law.
An alias.
He had some problems with the IRS, and he kept changing his name. They didn't have social security numbers then.
No.
But, he writes to Timothy. He didn't call him Tim. He called him Timothy. Actually, he probably called him his Greek name, which is Timotheos or something. But anyway, he wrote actually two letters to Timothy.
He did?
Yeah. Interestingly called 1st and 2nd Timothy.
Wow.
And Timothy was a, probably what we would call nowadays a bishop in Ephesus.
Right.
And Paul called him his son all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't his biological son, but it was his spiritual son. And they obviously had a important relationship of, and many of you probably have experienced that, where you have an older, not necessarily old, but older person who's more mature in the faith, mentoring somebody who's younger. And Timothy had an interesting background because his mother was Jewish and his father was Greek.
Mm-hmm.
And he apparently was raised knowing the Hebrew scriptures, but was never circumcised. And Paul gave in to some Judaizer types and actually circumcised Timothy himself, which I guess he had some training to do that. But and then later on, that was the last time he did it, because later on when they were talking about Titus in the book of Galatians, he said, hey, he's not circumcised and I don't care because nobody's circumcising him. That's not the point. But so Timothy was kind of in the early days of Paul's ministry. And we're going to go to chapter 4 today. That's the introduction of Timothy. But, these were two different letters that Paul wrote to him. Not by email, but probably on a parchment that somebody delivered it to him. And, I wish we had the original postage stamps and stuff. That'd be great for your collection.
It would be.
But in 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul brings up kind of what we've been talking about. And maybe before we go on, maybe we should just, why don't you read the passage, Stephen? Read verses 1 through 11.
Now the Spirit explicitly says that in the last times, some will turn away from the faith by paying attention to deceitful spirits and demonic instructions, through the hypocrisy of liars with branded consciences. They forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected when received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the invocation of God in prayer. If you will give these instructions to the brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus. Nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound teaching you have followed, avoid profane and silly myths. Train yourself for devotion, for while physical training is of limited value, devotion is valuable in every respect, since it holds a promise of life both for the present and for the future. This saying is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance. For this we toil and struggle, because we have set our hopes on the living God, who is the Savior of all, especially of those who believe.
So, the Spirit tells Paul that in the latter days, now remember, Paul thought the latter days was when he was living. And of course, we know that the end times began when Jesus came. Right. The book of Hebrews tells us that. So he says in the latter days, some are going to depart from the faith. Some, it says. Mm-hmm. So we don't know exactly what that means. What we've seen today is kind of a little more than some have departed from the faith. And you know, in the book of Jude, which you may or may not know, there's the book of Jude, but it's just before Revelation. And it's one chapter, so you don't even have to say like chapter and verse, you just have to say the verse.
Yeah.
But in verse 3, you know, he says the faith was once for all delivered to the saints. And Jude was written pretty early on, and so people were going to begin to depart from the faith pretty early on, as we saw in some of the other studies that we've done here. And some things were just led to heretical ideas and fallings away, and some were apostasies, and we don't have time to go into all the old heresies that were very prevalent in the early churches. But the Holy Spirit tells Paul that in the latter days, there's going to be this falling away. Later on, he tells him there's going to be a great falling away, but people are going to depart from the faith. And as he says there, they're going to give heed to deceiving spirits.
Mm-hmm.
Is basically what he's saying. It's not the Spirit, capital S, of God. It's deceiving spirits that people are going to listen to. In other words, they're going to be influenced by false teachers.
Right.
And we've, you know, we don't want to number, you know, some of the people we've talked about, but you can think over the last few decades, this has become more and more prevalent. There's less and less of solid foundation on the Bible and solid foundations of Christian history and tradition. And there's a lot more stuff that is easy, lighthearted, kind of fun. And it's been growing pretty rapidly.
Yeah. There's always a tendency, I think, to, you know, we think we want to make things fun for people.
Mm-hmm.
We want people to enjoy things.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of the truth of the cross, we get into, we water down that truth of the cross. Mm-hmm. We don't talk about it as much because it makes people feel uncomfortable. And then what we end up doing is not teaching them anything at all. That they're okay just the way they are. God loves them just the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're really doing is you're telling somebody, well, why do you need a savior?
Yes.
You end up teaching a false gospel very rapidly
mm-hmm.
because it's, you know, it's a subtle turning away from the truth just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Satan always wants to do. Just mm-hmm. a subtle little turn, subtle little twist. Not going to notice it, but before you know it, you're going to be well down the path, and nobody's going to be going into, you know, nobody's going to be learning about who Jesus Christ is and why you need to surrender your life to him.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this has been going on, obviously, since even the time of Paul, when he was writing all these letters of the early church.
Yeah.
You know, in our day and age, because of the means of communications that we have, Twitter accounts, Facebook, Instagram, all these other things, email, you know, information is dispersed in an instant. And a lot of people say things that aren't true.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Who would ever think of that?
Yeah.
But, a lot of people say things that aren't true, and a lot of people don't have the discernment to decipher through what is truth and what is fiction, what is
truth and
what is error.
Yes.
And, this is the real problem in the church today, because everybody wants to hold on to what they believe without acknowledging that maybe something that they did in their life along the way before they really became a disciple of Jesus Christ. And when I say I really became a disciple of Jesus Christ, what I mean is I really examined my heart before God, and I asked God, Lord, show me what's of you and show me what's not of you. Mm-hmm. And if I'm willing to do that, the Holy Spirit's gonna show me what's really of God, and I'm gonna have the opportunity to turn away from that and follow God with all my heart. But if I'm not willing to do that, then what I want to do is I want to hold on to what I know, what I've experienced. An example. There was a young man who was, you know, he was given a music retreat and he said he liked rock and roll music. So what he started to listen to was Christian rock and roll. Well, that's really not a turning away from rock and roll. That's just changing the words so that they talk about Jesus now. That's a good thing, but it's not a, you know, when I experienced my conversion, God showed me quite clearly the music I was playing, how it influenced me and who I was serving. I wasn't serving God. It was all satanic. Without that understanding of it, just changing the lyrics is good. But if you're still into the heavy metal beat and you still want that drive and that you want to feed off of that, it's not about God. It's about the beat. It's about the pattern of the rhythm. It's about the music more than it is who you're singing about.
I've never done a music retreat.
You haven't?
Maybe I should.
I think you should. So what I'm saying is there is, you know, that is a. You know, you're turning, but you're not really abandoning or leaving behind what isn't of the Lord.
That's a good point.
That's what I'm trying to say.
That's a good point. And like I say, I don't want to bring this up again, but my wife and I have done a lot of mission work in Mexico, and we've seen that, where, you know, there's Christian things, and then there's Aztec things that come in. And there's, you know, an Aztec priest who's in the main square of the city on Sunday mornings doing...
Yeah.
You know, doing his thing, and there's people who have just been to church who are lined up so this guy can do his thing over them.
Yeah.
And one day I was there with Gina, who you know. We were walking down the line going, what are you people doing here with this guy? And, well, you know, he brings us good luck, and he does all this stuff, and he does this little ceremony with the rattles and everything over them. And they come out of the church and they go to this guy just to kind of like, you know, make sure everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And if you said you couldn't go to this guy, they'd be upset. Then the guy got upset with us because we were taking away his business.
Oh. But,
yeah. Because he was looking for the pesos in the basket.
Yeah.
But that's
a perfect example of how people, they kind of turn, but then they fall right back into what they're so familiar with.
Yeah.
Because we're all, you know, we fall into habits, and those habits don't necessarily lead us to God. But, you know, as Paul's talking to Timothy here, you know, he says that, you know, everything created by God is good. God created everything, and it is good. And we have to, a lot of times we have to remember that. We use things in God's creation for our benefit, but God gave us those things for our benefit.
That's right.
You know?
And he's worried, you know, the influence that you mentioned by false teachers, that these false teachers can sound really good.
Right.
They can be very intelligent. They're very well spoken.
Right.
They can talk to people who aren't really grounded, who can be swayed. And even if you are grounded, you can start to think, well, that guy's bringing up some good points I hadn't thought about.
Right.
And these things sound logical and they sound reasonable.
Right.
Think, well, there's really nothing wrong with what he's saying. And if he mentions Jesus here and there, like you're saying, you know, when there's a lie, a false teaching, there's always a kernel of truth in it.
Right.
So if you mention Jesus once in a while, people say, well, he's talking about Jesus.
Exactly.
And it goes on from there, and people can be swayed because it sounds so reasonable.
Yeah.
And Paul says these can be doctrines of demons. These can be doctrines of demons. I mean, this is serious business.
Yeah.
And people and the person may or may not even know they're under demonic influence, like when you're talking about the music.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I used to worship this other god, and now I'm a Christian, but, you know, I still talk like I'm worshiping the other God.
Yeah.
And there's, but John talks about this being the spirit of Antichrist.
Right.
In his letter, John says, you know, if you don't believe who Jesus says, if you don't believe Jesus is who he says he was, and you don't believe that he came from the Father, and you don't believe that he came to save us, then you're under the spirit of Antichrist.
Yeah.
And when you bring in all these other doctrines, oh yeah, we have Jesus, but on the other hand, you know, what about this? And on the other hand, what about that? And yeah, we have the cross, but what about this? And what about the other thing? And people start to say, well, you know, that makes a lot more sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe this guy's right. I never thought about it that way. And if you're not grounded in the scripture, if you're not grounded in what Christian thought has been, you're subject to be swayed by this. And Paul says these people are, you know, they can be emissaries of Satan, basically.
Right.
Because they teach different things. You know, in Galatians chapter 1, he talks about, I can't believe how fast you people have gone to a different gospel.
Yeah.
Which isn't a gospel at all.
And the other thing is, the person who's giving false instruction, they may think they're actually giving the truth.
Yeah.
But they're actually not, because they're not spiritually mature enough to actually examine their own heart in that manner of standing before God and asking God to cleanse you. I mean, you know, if you're going to stand before God and you're going to ask him to show you truth, you know, light from darkness, truth from error, he's going to show it to you. You might be surprised at what you find out, but at least he's going to give you, because God is merciful, he's going to honor that prayer. He's going to give you the ability to see it and to turn from it, mm-hmm. if you choose to, because mm-hmm. you still have free will.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that you're going to get, you know, there's going to be somebody that's going to be preaching something so blatantly anti-Christian,
right.
that you're going to go, oh, I know it's wrong, but I'm going to follow it anyway.
Right.
That's not what Paul's talking about,
right.
here. It's a subtle deception.
Subtle.
It's Satan that causes the deception, because in our own heart, human pride, we don't want to admit that we could be wrong.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And that's the challenge right there.
Yeah, Satan is never going to proclaim an outright bold-faced lie to you, and you're going to say, oh, yes, I believe that. I mean,
right.
unless you're some whacked-out Satan worshiper or something.
Right.
It's, like you say, it's very subtle, and it's built with a kernel of truth,
mm-hmm.
but it takes you away from the center.
Yeah.
Takes you away from Jesus.
Yeah.
Whatever takes you away from him, and whatever takes you away from the cross, is what the demons want you to believe.
Yeah.
Because the cross is the center. If you can divert people away from that, you can mention Jesus once in a while. You can even use the word cross once in a while. But when the focus is away from there, these are doctrines of demons, because they take you away from what's called the kerygma, which is the basic
yeah.
nucleus of Christian faith.
Right.
And that's been, unfortunately, very, very popular in our time.
Yeah, very popular.
And
yeah.
it's, people get into this because it seems to make sense. It's easy to believe. It makes people comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're comfortable, you say, well, this is nice. This is
yeah.
way better than being uncomfortable.
yeah.
And, you know, I don't want to necessarily pick up a cross every day and follow him. I'd rather like follow him without having the cross. I'd rather follow him and have everything be, you know, fun and nice. And I might even, you know, make some money along the way and have a nice house and stuff. And
yeah.
hey, that's cool. Hey, that's better than living in some hut. In
yeah.
some mission field somewhere. I mean, this is, you know, these things make more sense, and they make us more comfortable.
Right.
And when you don't talk about what actually happens at the cross, then you feed into these other things.
Yeah.
See, if you stay focused on Jesus and what happened on the cross, you can't get sidetracked with all these other things.
Right.
Because you know that that's the center, and you know that that's important.
Yeah.
But when people nowadays, you know, that, you know, like Paul says, that the cross is foolishness to mm-hmm. people that are perishing.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense. I mean, if you start talking to, and I don't want to pick on young people, but you start talking about 20-year-olds today, and you tell them about the cross, I mean, that seems to them like pretty weird,
yeah.
kind of bizarre stuff. I mean, that sounds pretty weird.
Yeah. They don't. it, you know, I think it has to do with what have they been taught up until where they're at. You know, what have they been taught as children?
Yeah, but they feel like they're entitled to stuff. They feel that they got a nice life. They feel that they're going to have a nice job. They want to have a car. They want to have a house.
Yeah.
They want to, like, kind of live nice. They want to go out to eat.
Right.
And these are things that are important.
Right.
They don't want to talk about crosses.
Right.
Just like, you know, when these missionaries show up and start talking about crosses in Rome, and people go, ooh, what are you talking about crosses for?
Yeah.
We don't talk about that. It seems weird. It seems bizarre.
Yeah.
But when you talk about being comfortable and all these other ways there are to salvation and all these other benefits that you get if you, quote, believe,
mm-hmm.
then that sounds much more fun.
Well, you know, if you can't look at the cross of Christ, and I don't mean just a cross with no corpse on it.
Yeah.
And even the corpses that are on a crucifix, that's, you know, you see the wounds, they're sanitized, it's a remembrance.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, if you really think about what happened on Calvary, that he was marred beyond the resemblance of a human being.
Yeah.
Not too many people are going to be able to stand there and look at that and go, mm-hmm. and really stomach that to be, yeah. you know, really. It is hard.
Well, the movie was hard enough to watch.
Right. The Passion of the Christ.
Passion of the Christ.
But it is the reality of what Jesus did for us that we have to acknowledge. And until you come to that place where you can actually look at him in that state.
Yes.
You don't understand what he did for you.
That's right. And you don't understand where you stand.
Exactly.
God.
Exactly.
Because if you stand there and say, hey, I'm a nice person. I've been good all my life.
Yeah.
And I'm nothing like that guy over there.
Yeah.
You're immediately in trouble.
There was a story in the, in the scriptures about that Jesus talked about.
Yeah.
The
Pharisee. Thank you for not making me like that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But see, this is where when you have especially a young generation that feels they're entitled to comfort and things
mm-hmm.
and they can do whatever they want, basically, that's a recipe for disaster.
It is.
And it's not just confined to young people. I don't want to keep picking on young people. There's just plenty of people in their 50s and 60s who are.
It's
then left field too.
It's a couple. It's a generational thing. Generation after generation, you know, you hand down this watered down teaching, you're going to get watered down beliefs and watered down Christianity.
Well, you hit the nail on the head when you say, well, then what do you need a savior for?
Right.
I mean, if you don't know that you need to be saved, what do you need a savior for?
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds pretty weird.
If everybody's if all you've known all your life is that. Hey, I'm a good person and everybody loves me. I can't be bad. I can't be wrong.
Yeah.
No, you're still in need of salvation.
And you tell your average person at the grocery store that they're living in darkness and they stand condemned before God if they don't repent and turn to Jesus, they'll look at you like you just beamed down from somewhere.
Yeah. Because
what are you talking about, spiritual darkness?
Yeah.
I got this nice car parked outside. I'm buying my groceries here. I got a nice house.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean spiritual darkness?
Yeah.
And people don't – the demonic teachings that have come in our time have been totally geared to this happy materialism.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with having stuff in the right context.
Right.
But there's very little concentration on the cross and how you are saved.
Yeah.
And if you think that there's 58 different ways to go to heaven, then Jesus had to be mentally ill to go through what he did.
Yeah, there's a lot of, there's a lot of learned teaching going on because we're trying to convert people's minds instead of their hearts.
Yes, exactly. And like, you know, C.S. Lewis said, Jesus was either a liar, a lunatic, or he's Lord.
I'll take the latter.
Yeah. And that's a very difficult thing to get across in our time.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't make any sense. Because all thinking about evil and sin and has been pretty much sanitized away.
Yeah. I mean, people that serve in the church, you know, they're not volunteers. A lot of them think they are.
Yeah.
They're disciples of Jesus Christ by virtue of their baptism, but they don't understand that.
Oh, the show's ending already.
It is.
I'm not used to the half hour show.
I know.
Show yet. Anyway,
we'll pick this up next week.
Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org, and I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we pray that you would have the courage and have the faith to go before the Lord and ask him to show you your heart as he sees it, so that you may walk with him and his son, Jesus Christ, in all truth and all righteousness. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.